Welcome to Just Being, the podcast on learning to just be your most authentic self while caring for these minds and bodies we call home.
Hello, beautiful beings, and thank you for joining us for the second episode of Just Being. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Nikki. And today we're going to share our 3 G's to building a stronger mental health foundation, whether you're just starting your well-being journey or a pro traveller. Gratitude, grounding, and giggles. The power of gratitude.
To start, we wanted to talk to you about gratitude. So what is gratitude? According to Robert Emmons, a world's leading scientific expert on gratitude, it's an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts and benefits we've received. He goes on to say, we recognise that the source of this goodness are outside of ourselves. We acknowledge that other people, or even higher powers, if you're of a spiritual mindset, give us many gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our lives.
That's a great definition, but do you want to explain why we think this is so important? I mean, we are kicking off our series talking about it.
So what we are talking about here is the practice of gratitude, which is great, and probably one of the easiest ways to start when bringing in positive thinking. It's about looking in life for the positive things, or things we are grateful for, and consciously acknowledging them. This can help with starting to reprogram our thinking to look for the good.
I guess if you're always telling yourself bad things happen to you, then that's what you'll start to believe. Whereas if you're consciously looking for the good, you'll become more aware of it and open to it.
Exactly that. Our minds are wired to look for patterns and like to find things that confirm what we already believe to be true. So whatever we tell ourselves, we effectively bring into creation. Happify Daily wrote an article on the science behind gratitude where they said, people who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things that they're thankful for, experience more positive emotions, feel more alive, sleep better, express more compassion and kindness, and even have stronger immune systems.
I have a terrible immune system, so I'm sold. And I find it so interesting, that mind-body connection, like the gut-brain axis I mentioned in episode 1. Mental health and physical health are clearly so linked, but it's frustrating that GPs just don't consider it more.
Yes, definitely. So there are so many ways to practice gratitude, and the more you get into the habit of doing it, the more things you will find to be grateful for as you go through your day. You could start by adding this to your morning routine, even for just 2 minutes as you're first waking up or while you're brushing your teeth. Close your eyes and think of 3 things that you are happy to have in your life. Nowadays, I try and start every morning, before I open my eyes, thinking of 3 things I'm grateful for. Usually my comfy bed makes the list, but I try not to think about that one for too long, otherwise I fall back to sleep.
Yeah, no, I've started doing the same at your advice, and it does completely change the frame of mind you step out of bed with. But I can imagine people listening might be thinking, but I have nothing to feel grateful for. I mean, I know I've been there before.
True, but this doesn't have to be big things. It could be as simple as the water running out of your tap as you brush your teeth, a warm cup of tea, taking your shoes off after work, the roof over your head, or just feeling grateful for the food that you're about to eat.
There's also, I guess, practicing the present gratitude. So I've seen a great summary of mental illness in a few different places, which says depression is focusing on the past, anxiety is focusing on the future. But if you can be in the present, that is where good mental health is found, which does make a lot of sense when looking back at my own experiences. I regularly listen to a podcast called FKS Given, and they have a guest on. Annoyingly, I can't remember her name right now. But she spoke about the power of being really present by appreciating things in that moment. I really love this idea. It just resonated with me so much. So now, when I'm walking, when I realise my mind is drifting back to what I have to do work-wise when I get home or what I'll cook for dinner, I start a little inner monologue to myself. So I'll literally say internally to myself, I am walking with my wonderful dog around a common that I'm so grateful to live by, surrounded by beautiful autumn leaves and crisp fresh air. I'm grateful for this time I have carved out for myself to move my body and be in nature. I am grateful for my body itself to be able to move me and allow me to explore the world. And once you start, it's amazing just how easily all these little things you're thankful for just keep on flowing. But you could do the same while doing other activities where your brain kind of semi goes into that autopilot mode and you start thinking about background tasks or your to-do lists. Or that terrible thing you once said to someone 12 years ago that keeps haunting you.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My brain often serves up thoughts like that.
Yeah, exactly. So while cooking dinner might be a good time, or when you're in the shower, just feeling the warm water, there's so many opportunities we can do this just in our day-to-day routines. But talking about focusing on being in the present brings us up really nicely onto what I wanted to speak about as our next point, which is grounding.
The importance of self-grounding.
So gratitude is effectively one step towards being more grounded, but there are so many others. But before we get into that, why is working on self-grounding so important? So grounding is really key before you can start to fully focus on the other stuff that helps so much with good mental health or well-being. If you're not rooted to your sense of self or a sense of calm, then it's just so much harder to work on positivity, happiness, authenticity, or reprogramming those negative thought patterns, because you're doing so from a place of instability, or you might just have weaker foundations to start building all those different frameworks on. Meaning if you come across a situation that unbalances you, it will be so much harder to use those tools and strategies you've learned.
For sure. I know when I've been less on it with my self-care routines like eating well and meditation, both of which help me feel grounded, it then takes me much longer to recover from a stressful situation or day. And to tune into my inner voice to know what I really want or how I want to react. Abraham Hicks suggested that if you feel yourself feeling stressed out or at the start of a negative spiral, you have 17 seconds to flip the script. So whenever you feel yourself feeling overwhelmed or stressed in a situation, give yourself time to just breathe. And if you can catch that thought within the first 17 seconds and replace it with something positive or even just an observation about something that takes you away from the negativity, then that could be enough time to change the course of your thinking back into a positive.
Oh, I love that. But I find it so frustrating that even when you know what a difference all this stuff makes, it can still be so, so easy to just let it slide, especially when you're busy, which is so often when you really need it the most. I want to go on a little bit of a tangent, but I do think it's important to cover here. People chase happiness when they're working on their mental health or their well-being, and that's kind of the end goal. But in Fern Cotton's book, Happy, which I love, she explained this really well, that happiness is kind of like a pendulum. And the more you are chasing after that feeling of the extreme emotion of joy or ecstasy, the more likely you are to experience the other side of that pendulum swing with depression, sadness, anger, disappointment. Being grounded means being rooted to yourself and your emotions in an almost neutral way. And neutral can be seen as negative, but it really shouldn't. No one can experience joy or happiness or any emotion 100% of the time. All human emotions are temporary and do not define us. It's that sense of self beneath that that we're talking about returning to here. And there's this quote I love. It says something along the lines of, "You can't control what happens in life, but you can control how you react to it." But I really think in order to do that, you do need to have this kind of grounding set up in place.
Yes, I love that quote, and it's so true. But as you said, it's easier said than done sometimes. I know I've had times in the past where I've been quite happy in my own little bubble, feeling high on life, and then boom, something comes along and bursts my bubble, and I realised I wasn't as grounded as I thought I'd have been.
Yeah, no, I 100% know that feeling. For me, I've been working on my generalised anxiety disorder for quite a few years now, and I've been through lots of kinds of therapy, and I think I'm finally getting to a place where I do have good coping strategies to deal with a lot more of these like stressful situations that we're talking about. And I've recently realised I actually thrive in the pressure, which I never thought would happen, and I find it quite motivating. Right now, I've got big work projects on, a couple of deadlines in the next few weeks. I'm packing to move house in 2 weeks, and we've decided to kick off a podcast. But I'm loving every second of it. And it's actually enjoying being in the present moments of calm in between having exciting projects to focus on that I really struggle with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's in those situations when life gets busy that you will thank your past self for building any self-care habits that will then help see you through the hectic times. So I've been called a tree hugger in the past, and during the warmer months, I love to walk barefoot on the grass. Any way of physically connecting with nature really helps me to feel grounded. There's also a visualization meditation that I like to do, where you imagine that a beam of white pure energy is coming down through the top of your head. And as you're breathing and visualizing this, you imagine that the beam of light shoots through your body, through your feet, and deep into the ground. And if you want to take this a step further, you can even imagine that as the light comes out of your feet, tree roots are appearing and spreading deeply into the earth, and these tree roots are anchoring you firmly in place. I really find that this meditation helps me if I can't physically get into nature at that time for some reason.
I love that. That's a really good one, and that's something I've not actually tried. And I have heard, I've never tried it, about nature bathing. So someone was talking about it in a meeting at work that, you know, getting completely stark naked and spending time in a forest is apparently really, really good for resetting, that grounding, feeling connected with nature. But for me, yoga's probably a big one. But even actually just breathing, I've got the Calm app on my phone, and you can set kind of a 2-minute breathing exercise, which instantly makes me feel so much more grounded. Just 2 minutes out of your day. And I know there are loads of other apps which do the same. I think Headspace is another one. And similarly, 5-minute meditations are so helpful. So that can be when you wake up, or if you just need to reground yourself in the middle of the day. Again, the Calm app has a great selection of these, but you can also find loads on YouTube for free, which is brilliant.
Definitely. It's great that we live in a time when all this information and the internet and different ways of finding different meditations and things that can help us are so easily available. I love yoga too. And like you said, breathing is such a simple thing, but it can have massive benefits. It's something we've all been doing for many moons, and yet so many of us naturally shallow breathe or even hold our breath in stressful situations. I find the quickest mental and emotional reset to be just closing my eyes and taking 10 slow, big, deep breaths. Breathe in for 4, hold for 4, and then breathe out for 4. It's simple but so effective.
Yeah, I can imagine actually, and I've tried something similar. I've heard that as well about people naturally holding their breath when you're stressed, and it is so true. And I often check in with myself throughout the day to think, am I still breathing? Which does sound really weird, but it's amazing how often I'm not when there's something stressful going on. Sometimes for me though, it can just be about having to remove myself from a situation, which I know isn't always possible, but it does really help if you can. So even before this new work from home world, I'd often go for a little walk around the block if I started to feel stressed or anxious at work, if I could feel a panic attack coming, for example. Similarly, you can do a little meditation or one of these breathing exercises mentioned while you're sat at your desk. But even going and putting a wash on or making yourself a meal can provide that grounding you need. Anything that helps you find your sense of calm again. I particularly like to use these tactics to make myself wait before replying to a stressful email or text, so I know my response is what I actually want to say and not some kind of instant emotional reaction, which I can be a bit prone to. I do get particularly stressed around plans changing and used to react very emotionally, which is something I have been working on in therapy at the moment. But while I'm working on finding out the root of that response, I take the time before I react. So be it at work with a colleague or with a friend. So when I do reply, it means it's coming from a much more authentic place rather than that moment of panic. This has really helped improve relationships, but it also helps with my personal feelings because I was getting so guilty afterwards. I hate knowing I've snapped at someone because I personally wasn't dealing with a situation well.
I completely agree. And it comes back to that quote that you said earlier, that you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. You've mentioned walks a few times, Nikki, and I completely agree. Being outside, especially in nature, is such a good way to ground yourself, and it's something that most of us all have access to.
I find nothing resets me more like a weekend camping with no screens. That's always a definite. Or even just an afternoon by the sea. There's something about being out in that sea air, watching the waves come in and out, that's such a simple form of meditation.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the more time you can spend in nature, the better. Just having a couple of nights away from screens, like you say, and being in time with the natural light and dark cycles actually resets your circadian rhythm. And the best prescription if you suffer with insomnia or disrupted sleep is a week camping without your phone, just to reset. And speaking of the sea, I don't know about you, but if I'm ever on a sandy beach, I always get the urge to dig my feet as deep as I can into the sand. And this might just be a subconscious thing, as it turns out that this has the same grounding effect as walking barefoot on the earth does. Me and Nikki actually had a swim in the sea a few months ago. I went to join her on her holiday in Whitstable for the day, which was lovely. And after I came back, I felt so refreshed and revived.
That was a really, really good day. And I did feel completely reset after that. It was actually just after my breakup. And I cannot suggest anything as therapeutic as just spending a day by the sea. It was wonderful. And what you were saying about putting your feet in the sand, I wish I could remember where I heard it from, but I know there's someone, whenever they're travelling from a different country, the first thing they do when they have the opportunity is take their shoes and socks off and just put their feet on the ground to connect with that location that they're in. And they said it massively helps with their jet lag, their grounding to that moment. And I don't know whether or not there's any science behind it, but it's always stuck with me as an image. And if I ever manage to get on a plane again after lockdown, I'm going to give it a go.
I love that. That's such a good point. And I could have done with that tip back in my travelling days when I was feeling ungrounded and jet lagged. Love that.
Also, my mum says that there's something about being out in an open space, which is really good for mental health. And I completely agree with that. I somehow always feel more rooted in myself when I'm looking up at what I and my mum, I've got it from her, call a big sky. So that's when there's nothing to interrupt the blue in your line of sight when looking up. Or equally, staring out at an open view can do the same. There's a viewpoint near me, and walking to that makes me feel instantly calmer. But it's also a great place to think things through. So if I'm undecided on a big choice I have to make, or I've experienced something that's rocked me and I'm not quite sure how to process it, I love going there later that day.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. Having a happy, calm place that you can go to, whether it's externally, like at that viewpoint, or somewhere you can travel to in your imagination, it's so beneficial. For me, time spent just gazing at a sunset or the moon, it makes me feel so peaceful and just in the moment. And at that time, nothing else matters other than just being. Another thing I also love is an Epsom salts bath, maybe with some lavender essential oil. And if I'm feeling really extra, a couple of candles. It's the best way to end a particularly busy or stressful day for me. And at the end of it, I can just imagine my worries being carried down the plug hole with the water.
I love that. And bubble baths, or just baths in general, are such a great way to practice some grounding and self-care anyway. I always specify that when I'm plotting out my self-care routine for the week. And I really like that visualisation of the plug hole. I've never heard of that before. Don't forget the giggles. So to end our first full episode, we wanted to cover the power of laughter in relation to good mental health. Giggles being the third G for the day. Finding the things that make you laugh, be it people, movie, TV shows, whatever it is, it's just so important to keep us enjoying life. Even though, as I said earlier, happiness isn't to be pursued as a permanent state, a good belly laugh is just so therapeutic. Especially the kind of laughter that means you can't breathe, or if you're like me, you just start snorting.
I've definitely heard that a few times. Yeah, I went to see John Bishop a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first live comedy show I've been to in about 18 months. I didn't realise how much I'd missed it, especially after everything that's been going on in the world in the last couple of years. It was just such a joy to have an evening of laughter again, and I woke up in the best mood the next day. And even on the way in there, as we were having our bags searched before we'd even seen the show, the security guard mentioned how I was grinning like a Cheshire cat and I looked so happy to be out. And I really was. It was just so nice to have an evening out, and even better that it was filled with laughter.
Oh, I bet. I love that. I've not seen a comedian in so long, but you're so right on it almost being an immediate emotional reset. Throughout lockdown, two comedians set up something called Gigless, which I used to join monthly, and that was so great, like just a virtual comedy show. And actually, it did genuinely keep me sane throughout lockdown. I guess that's why you hear so often, must have a good sense of humour when people are describing their ideal partners. It is so important to have someone that's bringing that laughter into your life. Maybe that's why we're such good friends. We're always making each other laugh over such silly things.
Definitely. And being easily amused is definitely a blessing.
For sure.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode and found some of the tips useful. You can find us on social media as Colour Me Happy with two E's in me and Holistic Kirsty with one word with no C. We also have an Instagram for our show called JustBeing_podcast, where we will share updates on any upcoming episodes and quotes that inspire us.
We are just starting up, so it would honestly mean the world if you could like this episode or the show or leave us a review. And if you have any questions or constructive feedback, we would genuinely love to hear it. Do just drop us a DM on our show Instagram or email us at justbeing_podcast@hotmail.com.
Goodbye, lovely listeners, and remember to just breathe.